after the mess that was Bush v. Gore, when the whole world learned America's dirty secret about our election administration system, namely that it's messy and flawed, maybe you thought the country would then be shocked into action and then our voting procedures would get a fresh look and a real overhaul? Well, if you did think that, I am very sorry to shatter your dreams this morning, but you can blame it not on me, but on the Pew Center on the States. A new study from them shows that our voter rolls are in, quote, catastrophic disarray. We're joined now by Adam Liptak, Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. And what exactly does this mean, Adam? Explain the specifics of catastrophic disarray.
Well, it turns out that 1 out of 8 voter registrations is seriously flawed. That 1.8 million dead people are on the rolls, that 2.8 million people are registered to vote in more than one state. So a very substantial part of who is on the rolls shouldn't be. And separately, almost a quarter of all Americans who are eligible to vote aren't registered to vote because it's so hard to get registered to vote.
Well, and another problem is that when the election comes around in November, the Pew Center suggests that we may end up having a lot of problems with the votes that are cast.
Yeah. So this translates into problems at the polling place. The report focuses on how we've done at getting people registered. But obviously, if you show up or show up at the wrong place, that's a recipe for problems. And a different report, an earlier report, said in the 2008 election, some 2 million votes were lost, were not able to be cast or counted because of flaws in the registration process.
So, Adam Liptak, another thing that's kind of surprising in here is how much it costs us to get these really, really flawed voter polls done.
Well, think about it. Think about how much Amazon, say, knows about you, and then think about how you register to vote. You fill out a piece of paper, often collected by, you know, some third party. That piece of paper gets delivered to a government clerk who tries to read your handwriting and types it in. You move. You forget to tell the old place that you're moving. You may or may not re-register. There's all kinds of sophisticated data out there that could make this electronic, could make it online, and yet we rely on these 19th century methods of getting people registered.
We're speaking with Adam Liptak, Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, and you can read his piece in the paper today. Adam, one of the things that you point out is the difference in philosophy in terms of voter risk registration. The United States is sort of unique in that it's the voter's responsibility to get themselves registered. How does that translate into messy, or I should say catastrophic, disarray?
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, it means that a lot of people aren't going to go through the effort because it's a pain. Second of all, the effort they do go through results in all of these errors. If you compare it to many, many modern democracies, they put the shoe on the other foot. They make the government responsible for keeping up a registry of people eligible to vote, and all you have to do is show up at the polling place on election day. You don't have to go through these machinations just to give yourself the opportunity to vote, which is generally thought to be guaranteed by the Constitution.
Well, I mean, one of the places you compare the United States to is Canada. It's not a totally fair comparison since it's done state by state here, but you list this example of Oregon spends over $4 per active voter to process their registrations. And in Canada, it's less than 35 cents per voter. And that's because the government is doing it, or is it because they're using the internet?
It's some of each, but they're definitely looking to their own methods. You know, I mean, the government has Social Security records, it has driver's license records, it has the Postal Service's change of address records. There are huge databases that would allow this process to be streamlined that we don't seem to be taking advantage of.
So why don't we use online registration? What are the arguments against registering people over the internet?
Well, so look, first of all, the arguments for are pretty easy, right? Because you type it in rather than handwrite it. So it's going to be accurate. It's convenient. It's much, much cheaper than having a data entry clerk try to make sense of my handwriting and put it in. The negatives are, and this is a general fear, and we haven't talked about this, but people will probably draw this conclusion, rightly or wrongly, from these registration numbers, that it could lead to fraud at the voting booth, that somehow someone's going to take advantage of this online registration. information and get a false registration into the system, take advantage of that, and go vote. There's very, very little evidence of what election administrators call in-person voting fraud, that just because, you know, somebody writes Mickey Mouse, whether on a paper form or online, that doesn't mean that Mickey Mouse is going to get the vote. But this is a hot issue that's hotly contested in the current climate about whether we should be wary of voter fraud and whether allowing online registration might be a means to that.
And partly the reason it's a hot issue, Adam, is because many states are making it, trying to at least make it more difficult to register. And that means this Pew Center report gets immediately filtered into this nationwide debate over how important voter fraud is, how pervasive it is, and whether or not we should be making it easier or harder to get somebody a voter card.
That's exactly right. And as one of the experts I quote in the piece, Nathaniel Persley of Columbia, says, that it's not clear which way this cuts. I mean, the people who are affected by the registration problems are the highly mobile. And on the one hand, that may be populations that tilt Democrat, which is, poor people and students and young people. But it will also be some populations that probably tilt Republican, the military. So it's not clear which way it cuts. But what politicians think is that allowing more people to vote generally tends to help Democrats. That may or may not be right, but that does seem to be driving the discussion.
It appears, though, and correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, that if you set parties aside, if you set Democrat and Republican aside, it does disproportionately affect people who are lower income, younger, because they're the people that are more likely to be mobile.
Exactly. Almost nobody disputes that. And the one trend that may cut in a different direction, but even there, tends to be younger people, is the military.
And students as well. Well, Adam Liptak, would you agree after looking over this report, catastrophic disarray describes it?
Well, sure. I mean, if we're saying that we have an election system where one out of eight registrations is problematic, that's a disgrace, right?
That is a disgrace. Adam Liptak, Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. You can read his piece in the paper today. I should also mention that in addition to costing much, much, much less in Canada than it does here, they also have 93% of eligible voters registered there. Adam, thanks so much.
Good to be here.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.